Jr., opening prayer, Nick Ciamantero, our speaker, Brother Kenneth Gatewood. Sermon title, How Long Will We Reject God? Scripture is Numbers 14:11. Scripture reader is Charles Hopkins Jr. Okay. Presiding at the Lord's table, Tommy Claiborne and Roy Darnell. Closing prayer, Bob Bowens. Thank you.
Morning, church. Our first hymn this morning will be hymn number 854. That's 854, What a Day That Will Be. We'll sing both verses of this hymn, 854. Let us sing. There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I see. I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the well, opening prayer this morning, Woodlands. To your hymn book, hymn number 541. 541. Blessed Assurance. Who will sing all three verses of this hymn? 541.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. This is my story, praising my Savior all day long. perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture fell here at my side. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior, Father, and all. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior, all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior, watching and waiting, looking above. Filled in His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my praising my Savior all the day long.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one that's present, Lord, with another day of life, Father, and the physical strength and mental wherewithal, Lord, that we can rise up out of our beds this morning, Father. That we can safely travel, that we can openly assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning. Our Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto Thee this morning, Lord, are conducted decent and in order, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for the body of Christ that we have here at Ypsilanti, that we have here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for our elders, Brother Long and Brother Baldwin. We're thankful for our deacons, Lord, Brother Gatewood and Brother Darnell. We're thankful, Father, for all of our teachers, Father, those that help to increase our knowledge in your word, Father, and all those, Lord, that help to perform the work of the church here, Father, for we know that there's a lot of work that happens, Father, and it may be by brothers and sisters that don't have a formal title, Lord. But we know, Father, that it takes all the members of the body working together to have a fully functioning unit. And we're just so thankful for each and every member that makes up our body here at Cross Street, Father. Our Lord, at this time we ask as our brother Gatewood is going to stand before us, Father. He's going to bring a portion of Thy Word to nourish us, to strengthen us, Father. We pray, Lord, that You bless him with a good remembrance of those things that he's prepared to bring forth from Thy Word, Father, that we might listen with an open and attentive heart, Father. And we pray, Lord, that if there be any among us here this morning that has never put You on through baptism, Father, or maybe has and has just wandered away from home like the prodigal son, we pray that You bless any of these people that may stand in need with the courage to make their needs known unto our congregation, Father, while Your grace and mercy is extended unto them, Lord. Our Father, we're mindful of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father. all those that we have on our prayer list, Lord. Father, we know that you know each and every one of these precious souls, Father. We know that you know how each and every one stands in need. And we pray that you would comfort each and every one, Father, that you would bless them. Bless those that render care unto them, Father. And if it be your will, you might restore them to their normal health and strength. Our Father, we're also thankful for all of the many, many blessings of life that you've so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. These blessings are too numerous for us to even try to count or even contemplate, Lord. But, Father, we recognize that all these things flow from Thee. And, Lord, we're most thankful for Your grace and love, the grace and love that sent Your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that He led. But ultimately, Father, His willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father, to endure that terrible pain of crucifixion, Father, that was all for us, Father, for we know that Christ was sinless and blameless. But He was willing to endure all of that on our behalf because He loved us so much, Lord. And Father, as we go about our lives, we pray that we'd remember the love that Christ had for us and that how we conduct ourselves in life by word or deed would always be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ. And Father, as we just continue in our worship unto Thee this morning, Father, we just ask again, Lord, that everything we do and say will be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father, and that You continue to be with us throughout our worship service here this morning, Lord. For we ask these things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, we would please turn your hymn books to hymn number 330, that's 330. Why did my Savior come to earth? 330. We will sing all three verses of this hymn. 330.
Let us sing. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble low? Why did He choose a lowly earth? Because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me, because He loved me so. Why did He drink a bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross He lifted up? Because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me, because He loved me so. Till Jesus comes out singing His praise, and then to glory go, and reign with Him through end and stage. Because He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
Once again, we gather around this table to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the song we just sung, why did Christ come to this earth? He came to seek and save the lost. And the only way that he could seek and save the lost, he had to give his life on Calvary Cross. For we can be reconciled to our Lord and our God in heaven. And we have before us, we have the bread, which represents Christ's body, and we have the fruit of the vine. And as followers of Christ, the Bible teaches us upon each and every first day of the week, we are to partake of the Lord's Supper to remember that sacrifice which our Lord and Savior gave himself for us, for our remission of our sins. At this time, would you please pray, bow with me as we go to God and pray for the bread. Dear Father, once again, we are very thankful for your Son, Jesus, who willingly gave himself on Calvary Cross and gave his body and shed his blood that we may be reconciled to you through that death. And as we partake of it, let us keep our focus on that and remember him until he returns. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, as we partake of this, the fruit of the vine, we pray that we clear our minds, that we might remember the sacrifice that your Son made for us, that he gave his blood, that it may cleanse us of our sins. When we were unworthy, he did this for us. We pray that we always keep that in mind as we go through this portion of our service. And these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we are asking that if we have overlooked anyone but a servant of, would you please raise your hand? Not seeing any hands, we continue to give, come to a portion of giving. We know that God has granted us the ability to work and to provide for our families and to also provide for the church. And the only thing he asks us is to give back a portion of that which he has granted us to receive. At this time, would you please bow, we go to God for giving. Dear Father, once again, we are very thankful for each and every thing that you grant us both on this earth that we can sustain life. But at this time, we ask that you open up our hearts to give in a way which would be well-pleasing to thee. And we ask this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please mark the hymn books to hymn number 860, 860, from the Psalm of Invitation is done, and who at the door is standing. 860. After marking that hymn, would please turn your hymn book to hymn number 285. 285. No, not one. We will sing all three verses of this hymn. I ask all those who would easily stand, please stand at this time. No, not one.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one, no, not one. You know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And there's no friend, it's so meek and lonely. No, not one, no, not one. And you know that Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. And you know that Jesus knows about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a prayer like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And you know that Jesus knows about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
You may be seated.
The scripture for this morning's lesson, which is titled, How Long Will We Reject God?, will be taken from Numbers, chapter 14, verses 11. Once again, that is Numbers, chapter 14, 11. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? And now for our brother, King Gatewood.
Good morning. Oh, come on, church. Good morning. Amen. We should be happy and excited that we can come together to worship God on this first day of the week. You know, after I agreed to Brother Baldwin that I'd stand up here this morning, I got home and I sat down and I said, what have you done? I haven't been up here in a while because of some of the health issues I've been going through. But I can tell you, I thank God that I'm here. Before I start, we had Coke giveaway and food gathers yesterday. Usually we average about 45, 44 people. Yesterday we had 79 that we served as far as food. Coke giveaway was 97 coats we gave away yesterday. The only bad thing, though, I had to come outside and tell little kids and their parents we had no more coats. It was at least 40. So I hope and pray next year we may be able to increase our number, that we may be able to serve more. But also, Marilyn told me that we were the only ones giving out coats in this area. So this is why we ran out. But hopefully we can do better next year and have more coats, at least 140, and pray that we can serve everyone. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We always thank thee for the many blessings you bestow on each and every one of us. But dear Heavenly Father, as we search thy scriptures, we hope and pray that we may listen and allow them to sink deep within our souls, that if we need to change, we change before it's everlastingly too late. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'd like to read Numbers chapter 14, 11 again. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? How long will we reject God? How long will we reject God? I would like to make this question personal this morning. I would like everyone here and actually online to repeat this question to yourselves. How long will I reject God? How many will be honest with themselves? You see, a lot of people think there's no way I would ever reject God. Some will say I will never get off the path of righteousness. Some will say my heart, body, and soul is in line with God's word. And some may say, if I left this world right now, I am guaranteed a spot in heaven. With all these things said, were you being truthful with yourselves? I was wondering what I could talk about this morning that way we could compare our lives with the people in the Bible. The one that really hit home, I think, we all know the story about the children of Israel. As we heard this morning from the reading of Numbers chapter 14, 11, what I'd like to do is go back to the beginning of the chapter of 14 and start with verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that and follow along. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why was the Lord, has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. First, how did they get to this mindset? You wonder sometimes how we get to a mindset after things have been done by God in Jesus Christ. Because if we find in Numbers chapter 13, 2 through 24, where they sent one man of each tribe, which was 12, to spy out the land to see how it was. Then in verse 25, they returned after 40 days. Then in verse 27 through 30, when Joseph and Caleb, they told, Joshua and Caleb, they told the children of Israel, it's a place of milk and honey, and they could take this place. But in verses 31 through 33, the other men said, there's no way we could take them, because they will devour us. So they said in verse 4, and I want you to hear this. They said in verse 4 of chapter 14, let's pick a leader that's going to take us back. Now I want you to really think about it. You want to take a leader to take you back from where God has brought you from. Does this make sense to you? Because who in their right mind would want to go back into slavery? But if you allow me to change it a little bit, who in their right mind would want to go back and be a slave again to sin? Who would want to go back? Maybe they wanted to go back because they failed to realize what we fail to remember, that in our walk with God, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized for the remission of our sins and trying to live like Jesus Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit in prayer life, in our devotional life, we have come across a threshold of a point of no return. You see, when we walk faithfully with God, God has brought us out of something. Do you agree with me? When we go down in that water and we come up, guess what? We're a new man. We went down in that water and we come up, we left the old man down. But you see, when this happens, God has drew a line in the sand, and he's telling us, I brought you out of this. Don't you ever turn and go back to something I've already brought you from. Do we understand that? You know, you really have to think about God and Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. God knows we like going back. It's kind of quiet in here. God knows we like to go back. We can't give up what we had, feeling good, being around the people we know we have no business being around. We can't give up backbiting and stealing and being angry with one another, gossiping, adultery, fornication, and many more. No, we don't want to give it up. You see, God knew the children of Israel maybe wanting to go back, being scared and losing their faith in this journey. If God knew about the children of Israel, do you think he knows about us? Being scared, losing our faith in the journey. Because of the things that happened to us along the way. I would like to paint a picture of how and what happened. If you like, turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, starting with verses 1 through 3. The Lord was talking to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Then in verse 4, he said, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Now, this is a promise. This is a promise to the children of Israel. In Exodus 6, 6 through 8, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will redeem you with outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. In verse 8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as heritage. I am the Lord. Does this sound familiar? When Christ died on the cross, God made a promise to us, did he not? Come on, church, did he not? He said, if we live our lives according to the scriptures, if we do things according to his word, he has promised us what? Heaven. That's our promised land. That is our promised land. But what did the children of Israel do when Moses spoke to them? Let's look at verse 9. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they, what? did not heed to Moses. Because of the anguish in the spirit and the cruel bondage. I have a question. Can you relate to this? Someone comes to you about the word of God and you say, all things have happened to me. My burden is heavy. My life can't be turned around and God cannot help me. Because he never had. So many times we get caught up in the word no, that we can't see our own life before our eyes and we fall bondage to sin. We blocked our own selves because we're too busy thinking about who? Yourselves. God has given us that promise that if we live our lives according to his word, we will have everlasting life with him. So since Moses couldn't convince the people, then God said, I go to the problem. King Pharaoh, let my people go. In chapter 7 through 12 of the book of Exodus, we see the first miracle when Aaron's rod swallowed up King Pharaoh's wise men and sorcerer's rods. Then we had 10 plagues. Waters became blood. Frogs over the land. Lice, flies, livestock disease. Boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and death of the firstborn. To make a long story short, I sound like Brother Wiley on that one. On the phone call, we be talking, and he'll just say, let's make the life a story short. And next thing you know, it's been over an hour. It's a shame that it took this to convince the children of Israel. What does it take? What does it take to convince you? What does it take? You see, in our lives, we make decisions on what God, now listen to me, has done for us. Do you hear what I just said? Make decisions on what God has done for us. We look and we say, God brought me from this and I'll give him my time. Did you hear what he said? This is like that stuff on the TV that says, pay to play. Since God will do this for me, giving me a blessing, and I'll return and give him my time, I sure hope that's not you. And I hope it doesn't turn out to be me. But if it is, I'll let you finish that sentence. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13 and 14. Exodus 13 and 14. And we'll be going to different scriptures in these chapters. And I'll be wrapping it up pretty soon. In Exodus 13, 17 through 18. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that it was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, come on. I don't understand. Do you hear what he said? We'll go a different way. Because if we go the other way, they may decide to go back. Come on. all these miracles that had been done. And they still wanted to go back. God knew they were weak. God knew they would run at the first struggle. God knew as soon as they had seen trouble, they would blame Aaron and Moses. Are we this way? When things change, we blame. And who we blame? First, God. We blame the elders. We blame the deacons. We blame the preacher. And we even blame the teacher. But if we stop and smell the roses, we will find out we're to blame. We're to blame. Then in verses 21 through 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way. And by night in the pillar of the fire he gave them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of a cloud by the day of the pillar of fire, by night from before the people. We can answer, do you wonder why? When you find out the answer, will it match your walk with God? I'll tell you, their faith was weak. How about yours? How about yours? Now let's look at chapter 14, 10 through 12. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out of the Lord. Why would they cry out to the Lord when they have already seen what God can do? Are we the same? Don't think I'm standing up here just talking to you. I'm talking to myself, too. Are we the same? We have all kinds of proof of what to do, and what do we do? Let's just be honest. Some, nothing at all. Let them do it. They the elders. Let them lead. Instead of looking at ourselves. In verse 11, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we will serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in this wilderness. Then in verses 19 and 20 of Exodus says, and the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel and moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from behind them and stood there. So it became between the camp of the Egyptians. Now let's try to visualize this. This cloud that was been leading them came behind them. It was a cloud in darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other at night. You see, not only did the cloud keep the Egyptians away, think about it, but it kept the children of Israel from going back. the children of Israel had some problems, deep embedded problems. And the reason I say this in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, they remember how they had it. What they said they could eat and do. Oh, my. We were slaves, but we was able to eat fish and manna. And oh, my goodness, we even had dolphins. Oh, man, we was getting some good food here. To be a slave? That's when God realized, if they can't change the inner man, they will continue to reject me. At this point, let us read Numbers 14, 11 and 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them. I will strike them down with pestilence and disinherit them. Why did God say, I'll just get rid of them? Because if you want to go back, you're going to die anyway. Plus their way I brought you out from, there's no life there. There's no prosperity there. There's no purpose there. There's no glory there. There's no life and love there. There is nothing but trouble that if you continue to go back, it's like Proverbs said in 26, 11 and through 12 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Jesus Christ. God gave us Jesus. Jesus Christ is our cloud of protection. Jesus Christ is our way to God. Jesus is our way to make sure if we fall off that we can come back. But I want you to hear this, as you sing with the children of Israel, they continue to question God. They continue to say, I'd rather go back. But what happened? Finally, he said, that's enough. I'll just kill him. That will be us if we do not follow God's word. When the judgment day comes and we are still outside of Christ, we have no hope. We have no way. Hank, you just sung a song. No, not one. Jesus Christ. He is our way. He is our light. He will bring us out of darkness and turn us around, set us on that rock that he built his church on. He can help us to go to God and have that everlasting love. If we don't know it, I hope you got it today. Because if you're living in sin or you think you're living in sin, you need to get your life right today. Not just talking to you. I'm talking to me too. What was this lesson for? This morning was not to beat us up, but to make you make a roll call of your hearts and your souls and your minds. In other words, take an inventory. Take an inventory. Are you here on Sunday morning?
Are you here on time? When you're here and you sit here in the pews, did you hear a word I said according to the scriptures? Have you decided to help someone become closer to God? Because when we do that, we help ourselves grow. We help ourselves come from where we are. So if the question comes before you, how long will I reject God? How long will I reject God? It don't have to be something real small. The smallest thing can keep us out of heaven. I don't know about you, but that's a big thing in my life. If you were to think about how long would I reject God, answer that question. Answer it truthfully. If you're okay, that's great. But if you're not, change before it's everlasting too late. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's time to change. Put on that new man. Go down in that watery grave, bury that old man there, leave him there. And when you come up out of that water, a new man, don't be like the Israelites. Don't be like them. Don't look back. Because when we look back, we are rejecting God. And if finally, as we see in the scriptures, it will be a time when he's going to say, you're on your own. I'm still here, but what you have done is straight away. God don't never move. He is going to live right where you're supposed to find him at. As they say, just a call away. But if you live your life outside of him, there will be a time when he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. If you are a Christian and you have strayed away, now is the time to come home. Don't let 1 second go by without changing your ways. Because we're not promised 1 second. Not 1 second. We have to remember that's a blessing. 1 second. God has been good to us. This morning, I hope and pray that we all look at children of Israel, sit down and read it yourself. Because honestly, I didn't do it justice on all the stuff I had to miss to get it done. Because if we look at the children of Israel and look at our lives, we have done the same thing. Question before the song. Do you want to go to the promised land? Do you? If you need, I ask you to come as together we stand and sing.
Who let the glory stand in me? Interest within me, whose is the voice I hear, sweetening the tone of glory, all the for me. If thou wilt hear my glory, I will abide with thee. All
not
in your death is he. Jesus, our God, weary, waiting so long for me. Sweet the open the door for me. If thou wilt be my dwelling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, thy face star. In will I walk unwise, though he redeemed can change his God. He shall with me abide. Sweetly the throne dark open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.